Now, Anthony called to Colourful Creations in Tulla, and he had a chat with the owner there, Siobhan Gallagher, and her assistant. And Anthony now is going to, we're going to have that interview now again with Siobhan from Colourful Creations Garden Centre in Tulla. And she'll be talking about gardening, and I suppose it's the time of the year for to get out and gardening, although the weather isn't very suitable to go digging or doing any work yet. So we'll have that in
not,
you know.
Not today anyway, Pat.
Not today anyway. Maybe it will improve, but hopefully it will. The ground is very wet at the present time, and it isn't very suitable for that type of work. But anyway, now we'll have Siobhan Gallagher from Colourful Creations at Garden Centre in Tulla having a chat with Anthony.
Okay, spring has sprung, and people's thoughts, well, some people's thoughts, turn to planting in the garden. My knowledge of planting is summed up in, or pretty well summed up in a little yarn I'm about to tell, but I hope to somewhat rectify my ignorance in a few minutes, and more of that anon. But here's the tale, first of all. It's called Old and Alone and Needing Help. An old Italian priest lived alone in New Jersey. He wanted to plant his annual tomato garden, but it was very difficult work as the ground was hard. A member of his church, Vincent, who used to help him, was in prison. So the old priest wrote a letter to his parishioner and described his predicament. Dear Vincent, I am feeling pretty sad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. I'm just getting too old to be digging up a garden plot. I know if you were here, my troubles would be over. I know you would be happy to dig the plot for me, like in the old days. I remember you in my prayers, Father Louis. A few days later, he received a letter from his parishioner. Dear Father Louis, whatever you do, don't dig up that garden. That's where the bodies are buried. Thanks for your prayers, Vinny. At 4 a.m. the next morning, FBI agents and local police arrived and dug up the entire area without finding any bodies. They apologized to the old priest and left. The same day, the old priest received another letter. Dear Father Louis, go ahead and plant the tomatoes now. That's the best I could do under the circumstances, Vinny. Now, under the circumstances, I am here at the Colourful Creations Garden Centre in Tulla. I don't see too many FBI agents floating around the place, but you never know. The two people who I'm about to speak to might put me in the know. Horticulturalists Siobhan and Roisin, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hi.
And, okay,
well,
spring.
We'll try and give you a little bit of knowledge. First of all, it's March. It's way too early to be planting out any tomatoes in this part of the world.
Really?
Yeah. Now, you might be thinking about doing potatoes.
Yeah.
But if you're from Donegal like I am, our saying is don't plant any potatoes until after St. Patrick's Day. Roisin, on the other hand,
early spuds all the way. Get them in and get them minded.
No matter if you're in Donegal or Iceland or wherever, no?
If you mind anything, you can grow anything.
Okay. You're very clear on that.
well, look it. Potatoes have become a little bit more difficult the last few years because of all the
rain,
wet summers and all that sort of stuff. But here, Colourful Creations will always give you a bit of good advice. And guess what else we have? Good Donegal potatoes. Even though I'm in Clare, the spuds come from Donegal.
Really?
So we have the old British Queens, the Records, the Roosters, all those. And we also do like sort of first early potatoes. But
very
for
good.
Anybody that's just starting out, myself and Roisin would always like, you know, answer any questions. There's no such thing as a stupid question. And we also, we contradict each other sometimes, don't we, Roisin?
Always. There's always opinions together.
There's a bit of an edge to that.
There's no right way or wrong way to do things about here. And like, you know, coming in, you can just get involved in a discussion on quite a lot of things in the right way and the wrong way to do.
Well, the last day I was here, I heard you on the phone, Siobhan. I think you were talking
Was it German? And you were talking, I was going to say Italian. No, that's just that stuff.
Nah, that was just her cultural speak, I'd say. A bit of that. But look, it, this time of the year is quite exciting for us in the garden.
We're busy.
I suppose you could call us idiots, but we're both horticulturists. But the reason we're in this job is because we love it. And we get excited about seeing the same things year after year.
Yeah.
So like, you know, sort of when we see the first primrose of the season, it's like, oh, look. And it's literally, it's the same, you know, the whole way through. We actually love what we do. And we hope that, you know, sort of when customers come into us, that we impart that love of our job or that to us. But I suppose we should get around to giving a bit of practical advice. What would you do now this time of the year in the garden, Roisin? And then I'll tell you what you shouldn't be doing.
Very quickly.
You're speaking about spuds, so we're on to veg.
Yeah.
So you got to sow all your seeds this month.
Yeah.
Peas, your lettuce, you can get all those into the ground.
Okay.
Well, now, you see, this is where I'm going to contradict her. I'd say, I'd say, if you're not, you know, sort of, if you don't need a lot of seeds, maybe come to the garden centre and just get the plants. Because the biggest problem when people sow seeds is that they sow too many of them. The average sort of home glass house, maybe one or two tomatoes is enough to have in it. But people sow a whole packet of seeds and then they have 30 tomato plants.
Yeah.
And what they do is they decide to put all 30 tomato plants into a glass house. No, when you're sowing seeds, you need to be ruthless. You basically pick what you need and discard all the rest. Now, I find it hard to discard plants, but what I do is I put them into a little corner. I neglect them. I don't water them. And then they just die a natural death. So I don't have to throw them out.
I see.
Because it's hard to throw them out. But if you're not ruthless.
Very clinical, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're not ruthless when you're sowing seeds, you'll just have too much of everything.
Okay.
And nothing will grow because everything will be too crowded. So you need to decide how many of each thing you want to grow. And that's all that you're going to keep. But as I said, if you only need a few plants, you know, we do a wide range. We do the seed, but we also do a wide range of the plants and everything in the garden centre.
And it's one less job to be doing. You just plant instead of sowing.
Exactly. That makes more sense to me. Well, that's my laziness.
And then I have a thing as well. I think March is the time to be thinking about pruning in the garden. I don't agree with autumn pruning at all. Are you an autumn pruner, Roisin?
No, we're too lazy in autumn. There's still flowers.
Still flowers, but also, like, the little insects. Like the new buzzword is biodiversity.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to be friendly to the birds, the bees and the insects and everything.
Uh-huh.
They have to have somewhere to live over the winter time. So an untidy garden that hasn't been pruned or cleaned
is ideal for them.
Ideal. Absolutely ideal. So don't be cutting back your perennials or clearing them off until into when we think the last frosts are going. So late March into sort of April, I would say.
Okay.
And then, you know, then you can start tidying up. Pruning your roses, giving them the first really good feed of the summer. Spring, I should say. Roses in particular, they're very heavy feeders, aren't they, Roisin?
Horse manure. As much as you can get into them. Pellets are fantastic. They make the job a lot less.
At this time of the year?
End of March. Yeah.
End of March.
Well, just after, after you've pruned them or that sort of thing.
Okay.
And all the sprays and that for roses and for disease and that have more or less been taken off the market. So what you have to do now is try and promote a healthy plant that's not under stress. A bit like ourselves, if our immune system is really good and we're well fed and we're well rested, we tend to not get as many colds and flus. With our roses,
do you talk to the plants?
Do we sing to them?
Hug them like Gerry Adams. Do you kind of
not the roses.
Not even the Sinn Féin ones.
Do you know that a rose thorn is specifically designed to cause the maximum injury to humans and animals? It's hooked to get into your skin and rip you to bits so that you'll leave it alone.
What's that about?
It wants to be left alone.
It Survival displays, of the fittest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Displays its lovely bloom and it doesn't want you to pick it, so it's got a big thorn just to get rid of
it. Is there any rose called Greta Garbo rose? Wasn't she said, I want to be left alone?
Well, I don't know about that. There's a rose called, no matter what you want in name-wise, there's probably a rose for it. But whether we'll have that name variety or not, but
there's
we
no
will
Russian
have
roses. Is there?
There is. There definitely is. That's why they make really good presents, because you can nearly always find a rose for the person.
I see.
Or the celebration. We have anniversary roses too.
Okay, so you have
and
all angles.
Lovely fragrant ones.
But come here. Go back to the thing. Do you think plants kind of, you know, but nurturing them, would they know you're?
Well,
am I actually asking that question?
It's not really that you'd be talking to them. It's more that you keep them. If a plant isn't stressed, if it's not stressed, it's going to be better able to.
Like the way you leave the seeds to get stressed in the corner. Stressed. That's nice.
So, like, to keep your garden nice and healthy, then if it's kept well fed, and, like, you know, you don't prune things too hard, and you're not too, you know, and it's watered whenever, like, you know, sort of there's a dry period, and, you know, sort of mulched around, and, like, so if nothing is hungry or stressed, it's better able to deal with whatever nature throws at us, like ourselves. So, but about singing to them and stuff like that, I'm sure. But I think they know when you're happy. I think plants know when you're happy.
Oh.
Well, they perform better.
And they perform
better. Yeah, so happy gardeners. But gardeners are a wonderful bunch of people. Like, if there was snow on the ground, we'd still have a customer in the garden centre. We've had customers in on snowy days, haven't we?
We've had customers in thunderstorms.
Yeah.
We call them crazy, but we appreciate them.
They're fabulous people. No matter what the weather, they'll turn up. And there's a bunch of customers who always come to the garden centre on wet, miserable days because on a good day, they want to be in the garden. Mm. So they wouldn't waste a good day coming to the garden centre.
So they're here about 300 days of the year.
Yeah. the weather isn't that bad. But what we would try and do here, like, I know it sounds like an interrogation sometimes when you come to the garden centre, doesn't it, Rosie?
It can be quite intimidating.
Yeah.
You're getting intimidated.
Where do you live?
Oh, okay.
Customers are getting intimidated, unfortunately.
It's like, where do you live? And like, they're looking at you going,
why do they need my address?
What agent are you?
But, like, we sort of know most of Clare by soil types, by what grows there.
Yeah.
So Clare is probably unique enough in that there's a lot of limestone areas around it. And there's a whole bunch of group of plants called ericaceous that will not tolerate lime.
Okay.
So things, and especially this time of year, they flower early in the spring. So your rhododendrons, your camellias, your azaleas, a lot of heathers and stuff, just don't like lime. So in certain parts of Clare, especially around Tulla and, you know, that area, a lot of lime won't grow. Tulla Queen. As you go back, fecal is unique. Half of fecal has lime. The other half is ericaceous. Scarif, probably more ericaceous. Broadford, ericaceous. So we're sort of there. Like,
what about the mills?
Mills is half and half. So bits
another,
and pieces.
Another
You're sort of getting there. So, you know, depending on, and we will not let you, if you tell me that you come from Quinn, unless you buy ericaceous compost and you're going to put it in a pot, we won't let you out the gate with a rhododendron or a camellia.
You're that strict.
Well, it's probably going to be miserable and die. And then you'd say, oh, I bought that in the garden centre in Tulla. Reflects badly on us.
Absolutely.
Only Siobhan can neglect the plant. Not the customers.
Yeah, that's another angle on that. That's interesting.
Yeah, so, like, we try and get as much information. Like, we'd have customers come in. Like, we do a lot of, I suppose the name came out of planting pots and containers. That's where
colourful
creations
came
out of.
Okay.
So we have people that would come in and we would just put combinations of colours and things together for them. And mobile phones are fantastic because they, like, we set it out, they take a picture and they go home and recreate it. So you just, like, find out what colours they like, what plants they like, if they have a dislike of a certain thing, throw through things together. And I suppose because we know our plants so well, you know, it's no issue. You throw it together in a few minutes, you know what will go well, what will give the height, what will give a bit of trail, what's going to fill in the middle of your pot, how to do a hanging basket, that sort of thing. So it's just a case, I suppose, when you know your job well enough, it's easy enough to impart the knowledge or that to people, especially if they want to know. We often have people coming in and we nearly overwhelm them with information, which is not good either, I suppose. Sometimes we need to know when to stay quiet. What do you think?
Definitely have.
Roisin, are you good at staying quiet?
Oh, you sometimes I'd say have you'd be, to. Yeah, you, this is this whole argument thing with you.
Kind of a good bad cop thing going on here.
But you know the way Siobhan was saying there, Roisin, about all the gardeners who you're dealing with, that they're so wonderful. Is it because they're out in the just
they're
the humus,
nature,
the nature, getting the hands dirty?
And I don't know how you can walk into a place like this and your face doesn't just light up. There's colour everywhere, there's smiling faces.
So you've no cranky people come in here that you have to be saying.
We solve them with a coffee from the cafe and then they're happy out.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're not cranky when they leave. They might be cranky when they come, but they wouldn't be cranky when they leave.
Very subtle, Siobhan. Very subtle.
So, what about, I don't know, maybe talking about, just when we start off talking about spuds, any other...
Well,
crops that
we
people
have a
what
load
have
of, if you're into fruit, we,
fruit, okay.
we have bare root bushes at the minute, but we're potting them up. So
bare root.
So they would have no pots.
B-A-R-E-R-O-O-T.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
B-E-I-R-U-T.
So
sorry,
no,
bare root.
No.
Right.
No, so they would
take
have
it
no
out.
Soil.
Show you exactly what
they
you're
would
doing.
Have no soil on the roots.
Okay.
So, you know, we might have still a few bits and pieces of that left, but generally we would put them into pots. So, like, for instance, we had a guy in there today and he bought some gooseberries, some red currants and some white currants.
Mm.
And, like, he bought quite a quantity, so we were wondering what he was up to.
Mm.
Going to make wine. So we're
okay.
going to have a sample of the wine in the autumn time of the crop.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we do this with customers if they're going to do something interesting with the crop.
Like that.
Yeah, or if we're not sure how something, we think something will perform, if it's a new variety, we sometimes give it to a regular customer to try out, and they'll come back then with the fruit. Because I don't know about you, Roisin, but my own garden at home tends to get neglected because...
Well, that's what I was going to ask about.
Yeah, the
no,
time
no,
when
no,
you're...
No, not immaculate gardens for horticulturalists.
Ah.
Well, do you know, what is it, the cobbler's kids have no shoes?
I haven't actually heard that one, but it's perfect, absolutely perfect.
So it's true as well in your case that have you we'll a garden?
We'll design perfect gardens for people and help them get them there, but don't come near our own.
But we try. We bring things home with the intention, and I sometimes just bring them
around
back
the
again.
Because when you leave here, you're fed up with plants.
No,
you just don't have
time.
Yeah. We love them and we want to nurture them, but
we get excited. But then when you get home, by the time you have your dinner and
you just nurture them by leaving them in the corner to die in.
And then we know the good ones survive, and then we can recommend the good ones. it does help to sell.
And sometimes it makes customers. I think. They think we have fabulous gardens, and when you tell them, they actually feel much better that their garden is better than ours. Even though we have all this knowledge that, you know, it's very hard for us to put it in practice, because at the time we should be gardening, we're flat out busy in the garden centre.
You can't be everywhere.
You can't be everywhere. Mm. Yeah.
I always start out really well in the spring, and then around March,
bit
April,
by bit,
when
by
everyone
bit.
Else wants to do their garden, mine falls off again.
So everyone comes to Ye Merle. Do you go to shows or anything like that?
We do the Clare Garden Festival, which is at the end of April. It's the last Sunday in April. And the Clare Garden Festival is fantastic.
Absolutely.
They're actually celebrating 10 years this year.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and I have to give a plug to the sixth class kids from Tuna National School.
Tuna.
My daughter being one of them.
Okay.
They are doing a little show garden.
Oh.
So we're training the gardeners for the future. You always have to invest in the future. So there's three girls from sixth class Tuna, and they are building a wildlife and vegetable garden for the celebration of the 10 years of the Ennis Festival.
Very good.
Now, the 2 years of COVID was the only 2 years that it wasn't
stop
there. Yeah. So she has lots of stands, you know, horticultural stands, food stands, crafts and...
And would these people be from all
over?
Some local, all over Ireland. And that sort of thing, yeah. They'd have a lot of people travelling there. So it's always a really good day out. And we're always there and, like, you know, we sort of do... Sometimes we always have a good day with it. It's lovely. Yeah. Sort of meet... Some people, you know, from West Clare, you might only meet them once or twice a year, like, you know, and they'd be delighted to see you back at the show and things like that. So that's about the only one we do, because it's very difficult to bring stuff that, even that in itself, you know, you have to, there's a lot of effort bringing stuff. It's not, you can't really plant or pack plants very easily. They don't travel so well, and it's a lot of effort. But yeah, no, we think we do a good enough job from sight. Most people will travel to talk to us, won't you, Roisin?
Yeah.
Would you not travel to talk to us?
Haven't I here, for God's sake?
But lady. we have a cafe now as well. Briar Cafe is at the Garden Centre as well.
So how's that going?
We're open just about a year. And it's going really well. The food is lovely. We have to hand it to our chef cooks. They're fantastic. Everything is made from scratch. And yeah, it's quite tempting for us, but it's lovely to come into work. You're running in the morning, you come into work and you can have really nice homemade food. So we definitely recommend Briar Cafe to all our customers.
Could you feed any of the, you know, the leftover of the food? Could you feed any of that to the bare roots you were talking about?
No, they won't eat it. Not. But look at
that would stress them to use your word.
Sometime in the future, there is a guy down in West Cork who has a biodigester.
A biodigester, a small kind of a RoboCop thing.
It's the shape of a big egg, and it's sort of a. The idea is that we would feed it our organic waste from the cafe, and it would produce gas for us.
Okay.
But also a fertilizer that we would put on our plants, but it's quite an investment. So we're sort of
wondering.
It's down the line a little bit, but it's one of those steps to try and make, you know, sort of the whole place more environmentally friendly. And that now we do think that in the Garden Centre we're selling so many plants and trying to nurture all the plants that we're helping the environment. But every step counts. So
you're thinking about the other steps. Big egg up on the roof there, they'll know what's going on.
Exactly. So that's it.
Okie doke. Ladies, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
And you didn't get interrogated.
I didn't get too badly interrogated. I don't feel too interrogated, just a little bit. But anyway, thanks for everything. The tomatoes, yeah, whatever I do with my tomato. I'll tell you one thing.
Plant in April. Not in March. April.
Okay.
And try and protect from the frost.
What I was going to say is my laziness, of course, might come into play with that. But the ones you plant yourself, there is absolutely no competition between them and the taste of the ones you get in the supermarket. It's just incredible to plant something yourself, isn't it?
Well, that's it. And like, we'd always give you the best varieties and that to plant.
So. Say no more. So you won't disagree with
that,
Roisin. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.